Little old church that I love so well, is there I kneel to pray to Jesus my Lord, my trouble sail, and receive comfort on my way. Oh, that little old church where the message is free, and we shake each other.
Sisters, I hope you're happy to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. I want to thank you all and comment you on your singing. Good singing makes you want to sing, doesn't it? If you're not careful, you'll find your toe tapping, won't you? Brother Kevin, thank you for the good prayer. I'm sure heaven heard that. I'm just humbled by you all. I don't know why you would invite me up here when you got 10 talent men like to my left here and others that's been with you. But if God gives a man one talent and he uses that and studies in the Word, God will honor that just as much as he will a 10 talent. I believe that with all my heart. You have such a beautiful building here. You ought to be commended. But we don't want to worship the gift more than we do the giver, do we? We must remember where it comes from. I want to talk to you this morning about something every one of you are very familiar with. Your sin. Anybody here today don't know anything about sin, that's not the life that I've lived, I promise you. There are two categories of sin. There is sin covered up, and there is sin covered. You men folks, you ever covered up anything? You ever had $100 extra in your billfold, and you folded it and tucked it so tight you didn't want your wife to see it? Covered it up. Men have been doing that, and not only men, but women. Sin being covered up has been around ever since the first family, I guess. Today, the only thing I regret in my life is my sins against my Savior. Yes. But I'm happy to tell you, I feel in my heart that those sins have been covered.
Yes, sir.
Only by one way, by the blood of Christ. In Psalm 32 and 1, you're familiar with it. I guess Brother Will preached on it 100 times. But it's as true today that ever has been. It's not worn out yet, is it? David here said, "Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Don't you remember reading about a man and woman over here by the name of Adam and Eve? God told them not to do something. He didn't give them an option to do it or not, did he? And by the way, brethren and sisters, serving God is not an option. You ought not to have to get up on Sunday morning and reason with the devil as to where you're going to church or not. I think you just need to set your face toward the church and go. Amen. Unless there's sickness and death. What if the Lord hadn't gone to Calvary and said, I just don't feel like going today? Wouldn't we have been in trouble? Adam and Eve over there was given a commandment of God saying that out of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat, save or accept of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And what did they do? Exactly what God said not to do. We still have that nature today. Anybody give you a Christmas present, tell you, don't open it till Christmas. You know what you want to do? You're going to shake it and turn it. There's a cake in there. You tear it all apart. But the very thing we're told not to do is just the flag raised all automatically that we want to do just what we're told not to do, don't we? I don't know why we're like that. It's our nature. But you remember, Adam and Eve knew they partook of that fruit. I don't think we have any Bible to say that it was an apple. The book says fruit. That's what we want to hang in there with. I don't care what kind of fruit it was. It wasn't important enough for the Lord to tell us what. But of all of the trees of in the midst of the garden, thou mayest freely eat, save of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And when they partook of that, they knew that they were naked, didn't they? You know what they did? Try to cover it up.
Yes.
If you ever seen a fig tree leaf, you know Adam. Adam was not an ignorant man. No, sir. He was a brilliant, brilliant man. Adam took him some fig leaves. Right, figs have been around a long time, haven't they? Y'all like fig preserves up here? I could eat a half a pint any meal, but especially with good bacon and biscuit. But Brother Will, before last, I thank y'all for having us in your good home there. You treated us so kind. We could never repay you for it. But anyhow, Adam and Eve sowed them some fig leaves together. And you know what happened then, don't you? They soon dried up. But you see, brethren, what Adam did got us in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. I believe Adam took us down, not one by one, but all together at the same time, at the same place, at the same moment. That together there is an important word. Now, Brother Will couldn't do something at his home. We work. I'm just saying work over here. Maybe Brother Frank in Tennessee. If we all did the same thing, it wouldn't be together, would it? By the way, the text says where two or three have met together. That's important, isn't it? Aren't you glad it didn't say 200 or 300? Where 2 or 3 have met together. How? In my name. We must be met in his name. If we don't do that, we've missed it. If you are here today to see anything else other than Christ, you're not here for the right reason. You take him out of our services and you'll freeze to death in July. It's him that makes the difference. So Adam and Eve sewed together some fig leaves and they soon dried up. I'm on hasten. Didn't you say that, Brother Frank, and I got 15 minutes here? You didn't say that. But anyhow, brethren, do y'all remember over here a man by the name of David in 2 Samuel 11, I believe it is? You remember one of the saddest verses in the Bible? It said, at the time when the kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his men to battle with Ammonites. Wasn't it over there? I can't remember. One of the saddest verses in the Bible. But David tarried still in Jerusalem. Tarried. You see, he should have been out there with the men, had he not? Sure he had. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. He was walking upon the rooftop there and he saw a woman bathing herself. The Bible said she was beautiful to look upon. And David went and inquired. Not only did he inquire, but he fetched her, right? That fetch there means don't return without it, right? He went and took her, I believe the Bible said. Brought her into him. Don't want to get too graphic, but he lay with her. And the word come to David, Bathsheba was her name. And beloved, David tried to cover it up, didn't he? You all know the story. David had Joab, I believe, to bring Uriah the Hittite from the battle. David's going to try to cover this thing up. Here we go again. I never read about a man other than David, which said he was a man after God's own heart. Yeah. I believe God loves me as much as he did David. Somebody told me the other day, said, "You old Baptists, you all try to believe, preach, and practice of what you believe out of the scriptures to teach." But he says, "But our denomination is just going to go in by the skin of our teeth." I don't believe there'll be different degrees in heaven. By the word, the skin of your teeth is a Bible quotation Job said. I don't know what it means, but anyway. I learned long ago, brethren, when you ask a question, you don't know what it means. My dad told me, I remember this. I hope I never. He said, "Son, it's better for you to keep your mouth shut and let people think you're a fool rather than open it and prove it." Now, that's a good lesson in that, aren't it? I mean, I don't know the answer. I don't know. Little child on my school bus said, "Brother Frank," said, "Mr. Tommy, where did God come from? Now, explain that to me so I can understand much more, child, right?" So anyhow, David went and brought Uriah the Hittite home. See, he told him to go down and spend the night in the comforts of your home with your... See, David don't cover it up, brethren. Uriah refused to go, didn't he? Well, after that, David summons him again and made him drunk, the Bible said. I don't know if I'm sure you're familiar with that. The Bible says he sent a mess of meat by Joab. You remember, a mess is only a portion or a gift or a present. But anyhow, brethren, David don't cover it up. Uriah wouldn't do it. Thank God for Uriah, right? Thank God for the Uriahs of the day who want to do right.
Yes.
You remember, Uriah wouldn't go down to his home because David knew if he could get him in his house, get Uriah the Hittite into his house with his wife, perhaps this would be blown over. You understand? Uriah wouldn't do it. Listen to what David didn't finish yet. He wrote a letter to Joab, I believe it was, saying to place Uriah the Hittite in the hottest part of the battle. David's purpose was to get Uriah killed. He did. And you remember, David said this, "If anything is said about this, just say, 'One devoureth the sword devoureth one as well as another.'" That sword is still there today, my beloved. We're not going to do God wrong face to face and expect to get by with it. I don't care how much you cover it up. He's still got a way of coming to life, hasn't he? So, David had Uriah the Hittite killed. Uriah loved Bathsheba, didn't he? He sure did. So, you remember, God sent Nathan the prophet to him. The best way, my beloved, is for the... By the way, you may do something yet by Macedonia Church, but there's an all-seeing eye watching over you. That's right. Brethren, the only thing I hate and despise in my life is regret is the sins that I've committed against my Savior. I hate the sins that made my Savior mourn. I'm just glad he went to Calvary for Tommy Roundtree. And one glorious day, we'll see him as he is, and we'll praise him as we ought.
Yes, sir.
Nathan the prophet said, "David, there was a poor man. It is nothing wrong with being poor. The poorest member of Macedonia Church ought to be treated and dealt with as the most richest person here. We ought not to know one another after the flesh, hadn't we?" God got a remedy for that, too. But anyhow, brethren, got to hasten on here. So, Uriah was killed. And God sent Nathan the prophet to David. Said, "David, there was a poor man." He said he had one little lamb, ewe lamb, I believe it said. And he said a stranger or a wayfaring man came along and said there was a rich man that had many flocks and herds. He said he took that one lamb of that poor man and dressed it for that stranger or wayfaring. You remember that thing made David so mad? You remember that?
Yeah.
David pronounced his own judgment, did he not? I imagine Nathan's index finger looked like a yardstick in the face of David. Nathan said, David, thou art the man. Have you ever heard that before? I have. And it's not well to hear it, brother. So, anyhow, thou art the man. By the way, over here in Exodus 22:1, if a man stole a sheep or an ox and slay it or slew it or killed it, how many would he restore? Four. You know how many David's sons saw untimely and horrible deaths? Four. God can't alter his word. You better remember that. There's some laws in nature that are the same in the spiritual realm. If you plant peanuts, what do you gather? Thank you. Exactly right. If you plant peanuts, where do you gather them? In the same field where you planted them, right? You're not going to sin here, my beloved. And no, you're going to reap them right here. You won't be any sin in heaven with them. If when you plant peanuts, don't you always get more than you planted? It wouldn't be much of a farmer who just planted to get back his seed, would it? Am I making sense to y'all today? I hope I am. When you plant in nature, it is according to how you plant as to how you reap it. If you sow sparingly, you reap what? If you sow bountifully, you usually reap bountifully, don't you? So, today, beloved, it is the same way with sin. Sin always increases. Be careful about this. Sin is not to be tampered with, is it? It's not. So, my beloved, my Lord went to the cross. The Bible text said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. I can tell you about a lot of people who've covered up sin, but I can only tell you about one that covered our sin. That's exactly right. So, do you remember Ananias and Sapphira over there? I don't know how y'all say her name up here. Sapphira? I don't care how you say it. Still the same, isn't it? Ananias and Sapphira had sold a piece of land, right? And both of them were aware of it and made aware of it that they would hold... Brethren, listen, covetous today, I still believe, is a problem in the old Baptist church. By the way, it's so wonderful to hear a baby's cry in the church. Don't let that bother you, sister. Don't let... I just thank God for a baby's cry in the church. So, but anyhow, Ananias and Sapphira, at that time they would sell the land, lay at the apostles' feet, and they would distribute according as it was needed. So Ananias, he sold the property, comes in, laid it at the feet of the apostles. And Peter said, Ananias, have you sold the land for so much? He said, yes, we did. He said, you have not only lied to God, but to men, but you have lied to the Holy Ghost. Did you know lying and covetousness was the first sin that had to be dealt with in the first church at Jerusalem? You know what God did to that man? He said, those men back there will carry you out. You remember that? They came down, the Lord smote him, and he died right there, didn't he? They came in, wound him up, took him out, buried him. The Bible said 3 hours later. Can't you see Sapphira coming down the aisle and spreading it on with that money she lied about? Remember that? They said, Ananias, Sapphira, did you sell the land for so much? Yes, for so much. Said the same men that carried you out, she carried you out, she fell dead, and they came in and buried her. Brethren, sin, a horrible thing. You remember a man by the name of Achan over there? When they went in to destroy the land of Nathan and Jericho there, the Lord said, all the brass and iron and silver and gold, you put it in the treasury of the Lord's house. But what did Achan do? Covetous. He's about to sin, right? He took that talent of gold and that wedge of silver there and a Babylonian garment. I don't know. I wouldn't want one of them things. Would you? I say I won't. I don't know. If you could sell it, you know you might want it. He took a Babylonian garment and gold and silver. And he hid it. Here he is, covering up sin again. He hid it in his tent. Do you know what that caused that day, brethren? The enemy was overrunning the camps of Israel. Oh, listen. I believe God can withhold His blessings because of one person in the church doing wrong. Or I believe He can bless it because of what one is doing right. Don't you? I believe, brethren, it behooves us to not look upon sin with any degree of allowance. Sin is sin. What was sin long ago? You sang that hymn this morning. The God that lived in the olden times is just the same today. I've been asked to be in 11 funerals recently. A man was with another persuasion. This brother out at the nursing home called me one night about 11 o'clock. He said, "Brother Tommy, come out here." He said, "Mom has passed away." And of course, that man finally drug in there right before we went home. And they said, "We want this brother and Brother Tommy to have Mama's funeral." That man said, "No, I won't share the pulpit with anybody else." I called him at Walmart one time, my brother. I said, "He's going to answer to me for that." I said, "Why won't you share the pulpit with another order of people in a funeral?" Here's what he said. "We don't want two truths to cross. Two truths will run like a railroad track. It'll run parallel. It ain't going to cross, is it?"
That's right.
So anyhow, T.R. did the funeral. And I never heard such in my life, brother. Here's Achan going to hide. Committed a sin, did exactly what the Lord said not to do, and he hid the gold and silver and the Babylonian garment under his tent in the dirt or earth, it said. Joshua called him up family by family. And old Achan confessed it. You know what they did to him? They took him out here to the valley of Achor, which is the valley of trouble, and stoned him, and not only him, but his family. Serious to sin, brethren. Now I could go on and on with examples of people sinning. So, but you remember, I'm gonna do two more, and then I'll get out of the way. Do you remember a man by the name of Judas? He covenanted with people to sell my Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Didn't he? You see, now he was way aware of that. He wasn't doing this. No. But here's what he did. He said, "The one that I kiss will be the one that you to arrest or take into custody," or whatever it was. And brethren, he kissed my Lord. Do you remember what the book long said? "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." There's some people who love you to your face and take you out for steak and get you back and talk about you. Judas coveted it for 30 pieces of silver. And I'll tell you, that didn't benefit him, did it? He threw it. He went in there and threw it down. And he went out and hanged himself. Now, I don't know how you people stand on Judas. But my Lord said it had been better if that man had never been born. And he also called him a devil, didn't he? If my Lord calls someone a devil, don't you try to rewrite it and describe it. He's still a devil when you get through with it. I don't believe Judas. I don't want to get in trouble, Brother Will. I don't believe Judas was a child of God. Name me one thing good the Bible ever said about that man. Other, he was one of the 12. I don't understand that. I really don't. Judas wasn't interested in the poor. All he was interested was in the bag that he was holding, right? I was in a state many, many miles from here, north of here. And the pastor noticed that the contributions were diminishing or decreasing. And they got to looking, and a deacon up there was helping count the money. And he was stacking $20 bills like this and counting them with others. That man died of cancer. Don't you know he thought of that 10,000 times? Brethren, sin never pays. Now, I want to go to one more here. I've done the first one I'll tell you about. Some 2,000 years ago, my Lord, you're talking about sin covered up. I'm going to talk to you about sin covered now. Psalm 103 says, "He hath removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore." Thank God for that.
Yes,
amen. I've done enough sinning to damn me 1,000 times to an eternal place of torment. And whatever the Lord did on Calvary secured my home in glory, and anything short of that would have allowed me to suffer in the endless regions of eternity. Brethren, He had no sin of his own. He who knew no sin became sin for us, right? Thank God that's in there too.
Yes.
Now I wouldn't go to Brother Harry Martin to borrow $10 million. You know why? Because I don't think he's got that much.
No,
but Christ became poor. Though he was rich, yet he became poor for us. That's contrary to all principles of nature. You see, my Lord went from riches to rags. We'll go from rags to riches.
Yes, Lord.
I said I was going to shut up, and I want you to believe me that I'm honest, and I'm just going to do it right now.
Amen.
Amen. I have heard.
We shall.